When you look at a team where the captain hasn't scored a goal in 20 games and Abdelkader hasn't in 6 and Nyquist hasn't in 8, Larkin hasn't in 7, and Eriksson hasn't in 20, and you think you'd get some more from the defense than what they've been getting. I can't think that Scott Wilson was the problem, but is it that big that they have to get below a cap or something? I can't think so. But there's just an here's the thing. They've got 10 of the next 14 at home, and they just came off a big stretch of home games. Now they got 10 of 14 at home, 5 in a row. This is crunch time. Now, you may want to make the call now. Traditionally, this is kind of when things happen, when you know that you're going to have a favorable schedule, but they've actually been just as good away from home as they have been at home lately. So I don't know that this is, like you said, I don't think it can be entirely laid on the coach, but when so many guys are not producing offensively and that's what they desperately need, now Howard has been overwhelmed and his numbers were so strong earlier, but the collapse in front of him on Saturday can't be laid at his door either. And in the last 100 shots that he's faced, he's given up 13. He's not an 87% save percentage goalie. He's a 94 or 93, somewhere in there. He's not an 87. So I don't think you can lay it at his door. Mrazek has been strange. Just hasn't been the same guy that we saw 3 years ago when Mike Babcock really relied heavily on him.
Yeah. Who's a team out there that could use a goalie? Because it seems to me, too, now would be the time to try to make that deal. It's obvious that they're going with Howard, and it's obvious that in today's NHL, it's not a good formula to go with $2-5 million goalies if you're not playing both of them.
I don't think there's anybody right now, given the circumstances and given the performance that Peter has had lately, I don't think there's anybody. Now, if he somehow or other starts to put some games together, then that's the case. And in my opinion, it can't entirely be laid at the general manager's door until the new year and the trade deadline. But you know the league that the NHL is, you know the calibration of points, and you know that only the worst teams are going to be out by mid-February. To the latter part of February when crunch time comes and we'll see what the teams are really made of and what the rosters will be for down the home stretch. So that'll be the testing time for Ken Holland as general manager. In the meantime, this team has to pull itself together offensively, get better on the power play. You know, 5-for-23 in the last 6 games isn't bad. Certainly get better on the penalty kill and somehow or other generate some offense after the warm-up's over.
They got outscored in 3 games last week, 20-5. Oh, they've given up 4 goals or more against in 6 of the last 7. In today's NHL, that does not fly, and that does not happen.
I remember when I was there for opening night, and I saw together in the stands Nick Lidstrom and Thomas Holmstrom, and looking very slender and svelte, and I was just thinking, they look like they can play. Isn't it a shame that they can't? Because it would have made the team assembled that much more competitive had you had somebody that had that presence at the front of that. But, hey, if we think that way, we're living in the past. That's over. Mm-hmm. The trouble is somebody of Nick Lidstrom's caliber can't be replaced overnight or probably ever in the next decade. Because those guys don't come along very often. So now you have to live with what's currently there, and there have been some real mysteries.
Nick Lidstrom, to me, seems undervalued and underappreciated in the hockey world. I know you talk highly of him, and I know there are people that speak highly of him, but when people talk about the greatest defenseman of all time, they're always going to say Bobby Orr, and justifiably so. And they're going to say this guy, and they're going to say that guy. They don't always throw Nick Lidstrom's name out there, and they really, really should.
Yeah, after Raymond Bourque, in my mind, After Raymond Bork retired, to me, the best defenseman I saw after Raymond Bork quit was Nick. Year after year after year. And even in the twilight years, the last couple of years, he still had the ability to make plays and break up plays down the boards and all of those things that you could count on. So, I'm not biased toward the Red Wings, but I'm sure biased toward Nick, because I never saw a guy in the latter years of his career who could be still as effective at 38, 39 years of age as that guy could. But as I said, it's fun to talk about that, but the current problem that you have laid out there today that you're going to solve, I'm going to say, let's wait a little while. Let's wait through this homestand and see if anything can be rectified offensively, because they've got to be better offensively, even better on the power play than they have been. They've got to be better than 20-21% even. They've got to be much better at that, because Winnipeg is the leader in the Western Conference today.
Yes,
if the playoffs began today, can you imagine an NBA playoff with no Pistons, no Celtics, no Bulls, and no Knicks? Today in the NHL, we would have no Red Wings, no Bruins, no Blackhawks, and no Rangers. I don't think people above the United States would figure that that was a calamity at all, but it's a little odd, isn't it, that four of the original six would not be in today, and that the opening series best of seven would find the Canadians playing at Air Canada Center in game one tonight if the playoffs
began. You don't think that would sell any tickets, huh? What do you
think
a ticket for that series would be?
Those things would sell for $500 in the most distant seat. I mean, it would be wonderful hockey. But that just shows how things are in a parity league.
You'd have to – that'd be like, what, $5,000 to sit on the glass?
Oh, well, I don't even know what
it –
And
no
I'm
idea.
Not Canadian either.
Oh, no. You're throwing down a lot of money to get into those doors.
But, so. But consider these matchups. Vancouver at Winnipeg, Nashville at St. Louis, Dallas at Los Angeles, and San Jose at Vegas.
Wow.
Vegas, the home team in the first round, Montreal at Toronto, Washington at Tampa Bay, the Islanders at Columbus, and Pittsburgh at New Jersey. That would be the way it would be if we started today. But there's two-thirds of a season left.
And I keep waiting for New Jersey to come back to reality. They have been a great story this year, haven't they?
Yeah, and Vegas, the same thing. I mean, people keep waiting for them to come back to reality, but they survived their last road trip. They've only lost 7 60-minute games out of 14 away from home, and they've won 10 out of 12 at home. They're not going away right now. It's a third of the season gone, and they haven't left. And they've used 5 goaltenders, including 4 rookies. Only Marc-Andre Fleury. They've had cannon fodder. They've had guys going down left and right. They've had 4 guys injured, and they keep winning games.
Wow.
It's quite a story.
The homestand for the Wings, by the way, Winnipeg first in the Central, St. Louis second in the Central, Florida, who's only 2 points behind the Wings in the standings, Boston, who's 3 points ahead of the Wings in the standings, and then Toronto, who's second in the Atlantic. Not an easy homestand coming up for the Wings.
No, it shows what you're made of, and that'll be the test. And it's not even the ultimate test for reasons that I was saying before. The math is going to keep them close, but the math can be deceptive. It can be a mirage sometimes. It looks very close, but as I've mentioned to you one other time, you get onto an aircraft and you open up the airline magazine and you see the map of the United States. And it's only 4 inches from Detroit to New York. Boy, by the time you get through Western Pennsylvania driving it, it seems this is a haul, right? And it's the same thing. It seems close. And today, what are they? 4 points behind Montreal for third. Third is going to be, I think, the last playoff berth available in the Atlantic because of the strong teams in the Metropolitan.
Yeah, actually, you could make an argument that they need to change the rules because there's probably 7 teams in the Metro that will deserve being in the playoffs.
Yeah, it could be. You could make that argument.
And the West looks much stronger to me than the East this year, at least throughout top to bottom. The top teams, are strong in both conferences. To bottom, the West looks stronger than the East this year.
Oh, staying on the subject, how's Matt Stafford doing?
Yeah.
Is it bad?
No.
He got stepped on, right?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about the hand. I just know that that's the least of the Lions' worries right now. Yeah. This,
when Matt, I heard he got stepped on, I thought, oh, yeah, great. Stepped on his hand?
Yeah, it looked swollen, and then Jake Rudock came in and pick six right away. That was that was something. That was almost symbolic of this season.
Yeah.
You know,
this is
what?
About the same time, too, he got his hand hurt last year, too.
But the sun will come up tomorrow, and Luke will only have three games left. And then yeah, he'll be available, and then maybe the winning will come back.
You know, when they started losing is when Martin Firk went out with his injury.
I love he'll his shot, though. Scary shot. Anyway, you have other things to do, and I thank you for the invitation.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, Doc.
Yeah, it's always,
always
fun.
All right.
And I will listen to you guys talk about the Lions.
And we will do that next because Brady's chomping at the bit to get fired up here and get going. I should have invited Joseph Hayes into the show today so you two can debate Jim Caldwell. All right. Hour number two is next.